Daniel chapter 4. We are now coming to the climax of this tree dream episode of Nebuchadnezzar. King Nebuchadnezzar of Babylon had an ominous dream about a tree. None of his counselors, his royal cabinet, could interpret the dream. So he finally approached Daniel, and Daniel came and interpreted the dream. The dream was not, for Daniel, the type of dream you want to interpret, for it was a bad news dream. It was a dream that was speaking about divine punishment on King Nebuchadnezzar, and that punishment would come on him in the form of insanity. Nebuchadnezzar was going to be crazy for a period of time until the period of time that God had set had been accomplished for his judgment. Now, we studied down through verse 27 thus far in the passage. And in verse 27, Daniel left off giving the interpretation of the dream, and what did he do in verse 27? He appealed to him to repent. Whereas, O king, let my counsel be acceptable unto thee, and break off thy sins by righteousness, and thine iniquities by showing mercy to the poor, if it may be a lengthening of thy tranquility, maybe a lengthening of your peace. Now, we have a change that takes place, and through most of this chapter, we have had first-person description of everything that's going on. And that first person was none other than Nebuchadnezzar himself. He is relating to us what happened in his life. And when you come back to verse 34, you have Nebuchadnezzar again taking up the narrative and relating. Verse 28 to verse 33, though, comes in a different person. It's not in the first person now, it's in the third person. Question: why? Because he was crazy during this time, and he couldn't give you the what was happening. A third person had to describe now for us what is happening. Now, I'm sure you've noticed here at times there are the narrative is a very typical narrative in that it gives us to start with a summary and then it fills in the details. It'll give a kind of a summary statement and then later fill it in. We have a tremendous summary statement in verse 28. What's the summary statement? All this came upon the king Nebuchadnezzar. That's quite a summary statement, isn't it? Everything that Daniel had prophesied through the dream, everything that he had interpreted in the dream, happened. And I'm going to stop along the way here tonight a little bit and let you just give me some of your input tonight. What does that one verse tell us? What it says, all this came upon the king Nebuchadnezzar. What does that tell us? Yes. All right. that Daniel was right in his prophecy. What else? Yes. That's right. When God says something, he does it. It's a simple statement here, but God said, I'm going to bring judgment upon you. And guess what? God brought judgment on him. Just as he dreamed and just as it was interpreted, it happened. And remember, there was a watcher, and there was, in this whole dream, there were a holy one that came down from heaven, verse 13, and cried and said, hew down the tree. And again, so this is a divine decree that's going forth here. And when God says it, he does it. And just mark it down, we live in a world where a lot of people mock at divine judgment today. God's never going to do that. Well, that's not. Just because God has not carried out promised judgment doesn't mean he's not going to carry out promised judgment. Just as God has said in his word that he will judge the wicked and cast them into an eternal lake of fire called hell for eternity, guess what God's going to do? That very thing. God has warned and warned and warned for thousands of years now that judgment is coming. And this one little verse reminds us that God does what he says. Judgment is coming. But now let's read verse 29. And then I want you to tell me what you learned from verse 29. At the end of 12 months, he, Nebuchadnezzar, so it's gone to the third person, walked in the palace of the kingdom of Babylon. What do you learn from that verse? We've been singing about it tonight. God is merciful. From the time that Daniel interpreted the dream until it actually was fulfilled, how long a time period was mentioned here? 12 months. A whole year. Gave him a year to think about this dream and its interpretation. Gave him a year to think about Daniel's counsel to change and repent and stop his sin and stop his iniquity and do righteousness. And yet a whole year of God's mercies are ignored. I'm not sure I want to liken this exactly to this verse, but it reminds me of a New Testament passage that talks about that cast your pearls before swine and they trample them underfoot. You've cast out that which is good and it's ignored or denied or neglected and rejected. We see God's judgment in this passage, but we also see God's mercy in this passage. And certainly, as we've studied this passage, it's not the first time that God has shown mercy. And aren't you glad that the Bible says it's of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed? Great is his faithfulness. And remember the psalmist who over and over says, his mercy endureth forever. His mercy endureth forever. His mercy endureth forever. We have a merciful God. We sang about that mercy tonight. His mercies are new every morning. Now, verse 30 says, and the king spake and said, so chapter 4, verse 30, we now have this narrative being told by a third person, and the third person is telling us what the king said, and we hear what he said. Is not this great Babylon? Now, I want you to go to a picture in your mind. It says a little bit later, he walked, or verse 29 at the end of 12 months, he walked in the palace of the kingdom of Babylon. Again, that word in the Hebrew, it could be translated the Aramaic here, but it could be translated several times, several ways. In could also mean upon. And in my word picture, think of it that way, that he walked upon the palace of the kingdom of Babylon. Now, here's the picture. They often had these lavish, beautiful, flat roof buildings that folks would go up to the top of the roof in the evening and do what? Enjoy the breezes and so forth. In fact, what was Babylon also known for? One of the seven wonders of the world. The hanging gardens that were part of the palace property and so forth there. And so as we get this word picture, think of King Nebuchadnezzar walking upon the palace. And as he's upon the palace, what is he looking at? The splendor of his kingdom. And so he's walking there, and this is what he says as he's looking out over his wonderful kingdom. Is not this great Babylon that I have built for the house of the kingdom by the might of my power and for the honor of my majesty? Now again, we believe he said this when? At the end of that 12 months, when instead of saying this kind of statement at the end of 12 months, he should have been saying, oh God, be merciful to me. And yet he hasn't changed. My pride is a terrible thing, isn't it? And he hasn't repented. He hasn't changed. And what does this next verse tell us? That he hardly got those words out of his mouth when what? God said, enough. My mercy is over. The judgment that I warned you about is here. Just remember, God's mercy only extends so far and so long. And the narrative of the third person is telling us that while those words were still in his mouth, there fell a voice from heaven saying, O King Nebuchadnezzar, to thee it is spoken, the kingdom is departed from thee. Just as it was predicted, just as it was interpreted, because of his pride and his arrogancy and his failure to repent, God brought judgment. We had this voice speaking earlier, verse 14, in his dream, hew down the tree, cut off the branches, shake off his leaves, scatter his fruit, let the beast get away from under it and the fowls of his branches, nevertheless leave the stump. And so we have the voice speaking there, the Holy One, and now we have that divine voice speaking again, only this time it wasn't a dream, it was a verbal voice that could be heard. the kingdom is departed from thee, and they shall drive thee from men. And they and thy dwelling shall be with the beasts of the field. They shall make thee to eat grass as oxen, and seven times shall pass over thee, until thou know that the Most High ruleth in the kingdom of men, and giveth it to whomsoever he will. Almost word for word, verbatim, as what Daniel had interpreted. That's what was going to happen. And the same hour, verse 33, was the thing fulfilled upon Nebuchadnezzar. And he was driven from men, and he did eat grasses, oxen, and his body was wet with the dew of heaven, till his hairs were grown like eagle's feathers, and his nails like bird's claws. Not a very pretty picture of one of the most powerful men alive on the earth at that time. But now we go back to the first person again. And it's probably about 7 years later now in our narrative. 7 years of growing nails and growing hair. 7 years of eating grass. 7 years of living out under the trees. And at the end of the days, I, Nebuchadnezzar, lifted up mine eyes unto heaven, and mine understanding returned unto me. Let me ask you a question. How do you think that happened? The only answer we have is God brought his sanity back to him. And when his sanity returned, he said, I bless the Most High, and I praised and honor him that liveth forever, whose dominion is an everlasting dominion, and his kingdom is from generation to generation, and all the inhabitants of the earth are reputed as nothing. And he doeth according to his will in the army of heaven and among the inhabitants of the earth. And none can stay his hand or say unto him, what doest thou? At the same time, my reason returned unto me, and for the glory of my kingdom, mine honor, and the brightness returned unto me, and my counselors and my lords sought unto me, and I was established in my kingdom, and excellent majesty was added unto me. Now I, Nebuchadnezzar, praise and extol and honor the King of heaven, all whose works are truth and his ways judgment, and those that walk in pride he is able to abase. He learned his lesson. I don't know as we have a definitive answer to this, but based upon that, and we see when we come to chapter 5, we now have a new ruler. And Belshazzar. And so we have the end of the story of Nebuchadnezzar here now. I wonder, will we see Nebuchadnezzar in heaven? Based upon those last statements here, I would say he became what we would call an Old Testament saint and began to worship the one true God. I kind of hope he is there. God gave him a second chance even after he had been merciful for so long. He brought him. Did God have to bring him back to sanity? No, but he learned his lesson. He learned it the hard way, didn't he? At least 8 years earlier, he could have repented. He wasted a year that God gave him, and then, don't we? A God who is rich in mercy, a God who is able to do anything. He is the Most High. His dominion is everlasting, and all the inhabitants of the earth are reputed as nothing. He doeth according to his will in the army of heaven and among the inhabitants of the earth. May we praise and extol and honor the King of Heaven in our own lives too. Tonight we're gathered around the Lord's table, and we're going to again praise God for his sovereignty, but also for his wonderful provision and grace and mercy in the finished work of Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Father, prepare our hearts now as we would gather around your table. Certainly, these few verses at the end of chapter 4 here of Daniel remind us that God is a God of truth who does what he says. He is not a respecter of persons. He brings judgment to bear upon sin, and he shows mercy to those who repent of that sin. And Father, we know that in the day in which Nebuchadnezzar was living, the sacrifice of Christ had not yet taken place, and so he was not under the blood of Christ, but we hope he eventually became under the blood of the sacrifices and was temporarily covered until Christ finished his work. Father, I pray that you will cause us, if there are any here tonight who do not know Christ as personal Lord and Savior, that they will see that God keeps his word and that he is merciful to those who will call upon him. Bless our time around your table now, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.